Welcome to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. And now, experience the good life today.
Aloha from Honolulu, Hawaii. I'm Danny Yamashiro. Welcome to The Good Life. We're here to help unleash your God-given purpose. Alexander Graham Bell said, "Concentrate all your thoughts upon the work at hand. The sun's rays do not burn until brought to a focus." It's a rare skill that the top leaders in any area of expertise possess. Focus. Our guest today has honed his skills in organizational leadership to a place where God is using him to impact the lives of hundreds of millions worldwide. We pause even at the beginning of our show to let you know that the reason we have the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is, well, we exist to lead you to faith in Jesus Christ. We want you to know how much Jesus loves you. No matter what you're going through, no matter where you've been, what you've done, who you've been around, well, in spite of all these things, oh, the love of God is so strong and so far in reaching out to you to fill you with his hope, for you to know that Christ is alive. Yes, he died. He shed his blood on the cross. He rose again on the third day. And the living Christ calls you to himself. Would you put your faith in him? Doug Mazza. Doug Mazza is the president and chief operating officer of Johnny and Friends International Disability Center. He has overseen an era of tremendous growth since coming to the organization 12 years ago. He's taken the vision of Johnny Erickson Tada and helped make Johnny and Friends the authoritative voice on Christian outreach to the world's 1 billion people with disabilities and their families. Doug became keenly aware of the world of disability when his son Ryan was born with a severe handicapping condition. He's brought award-winning skills in corporate leadership. Doug's distinguished career in the automotive industry includes serving as senior American executive for American Suzuki Motor Corporation. He wrote the marketing plan that successfully launched Suzuki automobiles in this country. Under Doug Mazza's leadership, the Suzuki Samurai was named one of the top 10 marketed products in the United States and became the subject of a Harvard case study. Doug also joined Hyundai Motor of America as its top American executive. A sought-after public speaker, he and his wife Lorraine made a life-changing decision and left the industry to answer a calling to full-time Christian ministry in 1999 with Johnny and Friends. In 2004, following dramatic ministry growth, he was eventually promoted to president. Doug Mazza is a graduate of Otterbein University now. He and his wife live in Woodland Hills, California. They attend Calvary Community Church in Westlake Village, California. They have 5 grown sons. Doug, welcome to our show.
Thank you very much for having me. I am honored to be here.
Doug, I gave a little bit of background, but you know, we're always interested here. Where did you grow up?
Well, actually, New Jersey, about as far away from Hawaii as you can get and still be in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, called the Garden State, but I've been to Hawaii, and I'm not sure that that state has been given the right title. I think there's probably some Hawaiians that might argue with that title of Garden State. But at any rate, it was a good childhood in New Jersey.
What was it like, Doug, growing up there in your family?
Oh, my dad was he's a first generation American. His father was an Italian immigrant, and he lived the American dream. He joined the Army during World War II at the age of 19, and found himself, like so many American men did, when he came home. He came home as a decorated soldier, had been in the Air Corps, and won the Bronze Star and the Air Medal 5 times, and was always a hero of mine throughout my life. I was blessed with wonderful, wonderful parents, and he was a role model of mine. He started out in a little 700-square-foot house, like all the GIs did coming back, and went on to build his own business. And so he did. He lived the American dream. Went home to be with the Lord in 2008, and remains. I have a picture of his airplane in my office, and remains my hero, and always will be. So I grew up as a baby boomer, and went on to Otterbein University, and then now into the United States Army myself, and then eventually into the business world, but didn't really become a Christian until many years later. I thought I was a Christian, but I had attended a church that gave me a lot of religion, but I really never understood what being born again was until I met my wife, Lorraine, who took me to an evangelical church, and did not take me long. I had so much religion in my head. Yes. All I needed was for somebody to ask for the clothes. Danny, I was so along those lines. I was so taken by what a great job you did of introducing your radio program, because what you spoke about Jesus Christ, I can tell you from personal experience, people need to hear that. There are so many people that just need to hear the word as to who Jesus Christ is, that he is exactly who he said he was. And sometimes the Gospels, I don't want to get off base here, but sometimes the Gospels, the message of the Gospel is so simple, there's people that say, I just can't be that easy, that I just give my life to Christ, I put my faith in Christ, and that I become his. And so I just want to let you know how honoring the opening of your show is. It's very important, and I'd love to hear more radio shows should open that way, and television.
You know, we try to be keep things as simple as possible, and you know, just hearing your story and knowing a little bit about just a tad bit of the accomplishments that the Lord has allowed you to do and to achieve. It must have taken, you know, you talk about our focus on the clarity of the gospel message, And this area of focus that you've had now, focused on Christ and the Christ ministry through Johnny and Friends to those individuals and families with disability, but using your gift as a corporate leader, how did you discover, Doug, your passion for corporate leadership?
I went to school with the idea that I wanted to work in corporate life. That seems strange today, especially in today's culture. But growing up, again, with a father who was so driven and yet was a good family man. He was a great family man. He had time to be my little league coach and all those other things and build a business and literally start with this tiny house on a lot that was filled with rocks and no grass at the edge of a swamp. And the man did extraordinary things. He had a great sense of humor, and he raised three children and had a very successful life. But the experience of leadership, I think, is a God-given gift. I realized much later in life I thought everybody knew what I knew, and I think there are so many listeners out there that feel that way, that they don't feel special because they think, well, if I know it, then other people must know it. But each person listening has got a special gift, that they, and sometimes I didn't have patience with people that didn't understand what I knew, because I thought if I knew it, it must be simple. It was only later in life that I realized, oh my goodness, God has given me a gift, just like he's given the gift that I'm of the person I'm talking to. And like you, Danny, given you a very, very special gift. And it was, I was always interested in how organizations operate. I was interested in leadership. I was always interested in athletics and sports growing up and how teams were built. I had much more desire than talent, like a lot of people. Leadership is, I think you can develop someone's leadership if they're a leader. But if they're not called to be a leader, it can be very frustrating for someone mm-hmm. who's put in that position. And I think that's where some of the failure of leadership comes from. We think if somebody's good at something, they must be good at everything. And that's not true.
So you went to Otterbein University.
Otterbein, yeah.
Otterbein.
Yeah.
And what have you done besides being there? Were there other places, other institutions that you were a part of that helped you to develop your skills for your career?
Well, frankly, I came out of the Army much more driven than I went in. And I was always much of an A-type. Mm-hmm. Always looked for a leadership role without even realizing I was doing that. It just came naturally to me in a certain way, and I think that's why I know it's a God-given gift. I want to jump ahead, and I'm going to come back to that, because I want to put parentheses around this, because this should not be at all self-serving. I believe that everything God has given me, every opportunity, and everything I have learned in business, which I thought was my purpose in life, all of it was in preparation for what I'm doing here in ministry and expanding God's kingdom and working for Johnny and friends. And I just want the listeners to know that this is not about me, and it's not about my resume per se, because frankly, as I sit here now, I smile, because it all seems so unimportant to me compared to what God is allowing me to do. And yet I know I had to go through those experiences, the good ones and the bad ones, in order for him to sharpen me, in order to be allowed to be eligible to work here alongside of Johnny Erickson Tata and serve the people that he loved and spent so much time with.
Mm-hmm.
God sought out the disabled.
He
touched the untouchable. He mm-hmm. loved them, which confused those in power. Still today, those who seek out the disabled confuses those in power as to why they would do that. And so I just wanted to be sure that I'm not here to tell you what a wonderful background I've had or how good I've been at something. I have been surrounded. My biggest talent has been to find talent and to find people smarter than me. The only time I ever panic, I'm not much of a panicker. The only time I panic is when I'm the smartest guy in the room.
Uh-oh.
Then I get very nervous, and I love to surround myself with really talented people that can do their job better than me and then lead them.
Well, I think it's an absolutely, that's one of the pristine qualities of the kind of level of leadership that you have, because it speaks of a cut of a different swath, because so many would want to keep others under them and, you know, be the supreme one with the most knowledge, and yet there's an inherent cap on the capacity of what could actually happen or what God could actually do. You know, we're going to take a break right now. But Doug, when we come back, I'd like to talk about what happened that caused you to become keenly aware of the world of disability. You know, there was a convergence point. I think there are convergence points in the lives of people, our listeners today. You may be wondering, as you listen to Doug Mazza's story, a high-level leadership executive, a Harvard case study, and yet God was moving miraculously, even in subtle ways, and sometimes not so subtle, to bring him to the point where he is today. You know, the Lord is working in your life too. in a special way. So stay with us. We'll be back with more.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. And listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Have you been blessed by the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show? Have the stories been an inspiration to you? What if you had the opportunity to improve the quality of another person's life, someone like your family member or friend? Danny Yamashiro is looking for friends of the Good Life to prayerfully consider a monthly financial gift. You will receive monthly letters from Danny that will equip and encourage you. I invite you to become a financial partner with Danny Yamashiro Ministries. With your gift, you will become part of Danny's ministry team and help reach more people with God's love and hope through Jesus Christ. Write your check to Danny Yamashiro Ministries and mail it to P.O. Box 700998 Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. That's Danny Yamashiro Ministries, P.O. Box 700998, Kapolei, Hawaii 96709. Or go to www.dannyyamashiro.org. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
You know, a convergence point is one of those times in life when you... It's a culminating moment when it seems like all your collective experiences begin to, you could say, they begin to synergize, they coalesce at a place where it begins to make sense. But you look back, when you have a chance to look back at it, you think to yourself, wow, who would have ever thought that that seemingly insignificant experience, or maybe that really big accomplishment that I had, was actually a point of preparation for me to be placed where I am today so that I can do something of significance to serve a lot of people. You know, God works in those kinds of ways with people. And perhaps today you're wondering, how does it all make sense, the things that I'm experiencing in my life, the things that I've been so discouraged about? You know, that's a word of hope. If you've been discouraged, if you've been a little bit confused, if you've been wondering how can things begin to make sense, how can God take something so depressing and make it into something so lively and vibrant? Well, our story today will certainly encourage you. It's a story of Doug Mazza. Doug Mazza is the president and chief operating officer of Johnny and Friends International Disability Center. And Doug has an amazing background when it comes to the corporate world. And God infused in him at a certain place in his life where he felt a calling to serve people. And their families, people with disabilities and their families. You're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. I'm Danny Yamashiro. To get a free podcast And also, to get more information, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. You can get this program in its entirety. But I'll also encourage you to go ahead and send it to someone who you know would be, it would be an encouragement for them. Doug, what happened that caused you to be keenly aware of the world of disability?
Well, that had to do with the birth of my youngest son. I was a guy, Danny, who liked to be in control. And the world will teach you that the more control you can garner, the more successful you'll be. My life was getting a lot of feedback that that was true. I had worked my way to the top of a couple of well-known corporations, both Hyundai and Suzuki here in the United States, for all of the United States, and had climbed through both corporations by being a guy who was really liked the idea of control. And then you run into Jesus Christ, who has a different idea about who's in charge. And sometimes he has to get your attention with that. And when my youngest son, Ryan, was born, he was the eighth case of a child born alive in the United States with Crouzon-Pfeiffer syndromes. And very quickly, so that the audience can have some context, very early in a Crouzon child, the sutures or the soft spots in a baby's skull are fused together, so the brain is not able to grow to its full size. And very often the child is not born alive. But Ryan, God had something in mind for him, because the forehead was left unattached, and so Ryan's entire brain grew in front of his face, and in doing so, it pushed his eyes out of the sockets and spread his cheekbones apart, dislocated his upper jaw, and disrupted his upper respiratory system. His fingers and toes were twisted, and I was in the delivery room when he was born. We had no idea back then that we were going to have a disabled child, special needs child. And the doctor, who had never seen anything like this, this baby with this incredibly contorted, twisted skull and misshapen face, he just turned away from me so that I couldn't see the baby. And he said over his shoulder, "I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I don't see how this child can live but a few hours." But God did have something in mind for Ryan, and at 2 weeks, he got stronger. And so doctors at Children's Hospital in Chicago tried his first craniofacial advancement, which basically means that they took this two-week-old baby and they opened his head from neck to eyebrow and ear to ear, and they took all the bone from around his skull and moved the brain back into the bowl of the head and began reshaping his head by retooling the bone. It was an experimental surgery back in those days, and it was the first of 13 brain and skull surgeries Ryan would have his first 3 years of life, spending 18 months of the first 3 years of his life in the hospital, usually in intensive care, fighting off some life-threatening attack. He lived in extraordinary pain, and he was just a child that you began to question everything about God and how this could possibly happen. And the question of why comes up, and why the suffering in this little child. And I called upon my God, and I after several episodes where he was very near death, I called upon my God and I said, "God, you've got to show me. You've got to show me what purpose this boy's life has. I don't see it. I don't see it in my corporate world. There's no place for disability. There's no place for people who aren't like me. I don't see a place in the world for him. I see only suffering and pain." And jumping to the end of the story and my own personal testimony, I asked God to save my son's life, and he saved me. Hmm. I asked him to show me the purpose for my son's life, and he showed me the purpose for mine. And so I owe my son everything. I owe him eternity. He has been the most important and influential person. You asked me earlier who was the most influential person in my life growing up. It was my father. But the most influential person in my life is a disabled young man with whom I've never had a conversation. Hmm. Only God could do that. Only God could do that. And my wife invited me back to church, because I wasn't a churchgoer, and she brought me to church, where I eventually developed and began to understand what a personal relationship with Jesus Christ is all about. Jesus is a living, loving entity that wants to know us personally, and the concept of that is hard to understand, but it is true. It's a relationship that he wants. He doesn't want subservience. He wants a relationship. He wants to be the Lord of our life, but he wants a personal relationship. God wanted a personal relationship with me. How could that possibly be? So I became very curious about that, and in his time and with his constant patience, the Lord drew me to him, and I gave him complete control, and I realized that the more I released to God, the more actual power I got, the more I was able to make good decisions, better decisions. I became first, hopefully, a better father and a better parent, and then I became a better manager, and I began giving everything to God. I realized the more I gave to him, the more successful it was. And I often say, only half in jest, I was in a meeting at Hyundai one day when I announced to our director staff that I'd given the company to Jesus Christ. And then I say with a smile, have you noticed how much better Hyundais are since Jesus took that company over? I mean, it is an amazing thing when we surrender to God and give it all to him. And my son, who was so disabled, yes, and suffering so much, I thought I was in control of his life. I thought that as the father, he was my, that I was in charge of him. No, he was my responsibility as a father, but God is in charge. And when I gave my son, who was in a coma, who I thought was not going to make it through the night, when I finally leaned over and I said to him, I whispered in his ear, Ryan, I can't help you anymore. Jesus Christ is going to take care of you now. That was a turning point in my life and his. He survived that coma, and God restored him for a time, and I believe it was, he didn't change the shape of Ryan's face. God didn't heal that. He didn't take away all of the paralysis in his hand, but he rose him up, and he gave him his health back. And he left that hospital, and I believe it was because God wanted me to know that Jesus Christ was in that room the whole time. And when I turned the most precious thing in my world over to God, when I gave my son to Jesus Christ, palms up, released him completely to the Lord, he wanted me to know, I've been waiting. I was wondering how long you were going to wait to bring me into this problem. I just want you to know that I'm here, that I love your son more than you do, that I've cried with you when you sought my comfort. But I want you to understand something. He's my child too. And I don't mourn the shell that you mourn. I built Ryan for eternity, and I have great purpose for him. And I've got great purpose for you as well. So I owe my son Ryan everything. He doesn't speak. He's blind. He can't sit up in a wheelchair without a brace. He's fed through a G-tube. But he listens to the Word of God as I read it to him. He knows my voice. And when I read the Bible to him or sing to him, we sing hymns, he smiles all the way through it. And I'm never closer to God than when I'm with Ryan. And I began, my wife and I began praying as we had achieved pretty much in the world what the world has to offer. And now as we began, as I in particular began to mature, I began to question as to whether this is really what God intended for my life, corporate world, or was this really a training ground for something maybe even more important? And we prayed together and decided that if Jesus Christ called us somewhere else, that we would respond and we would go, not knowing what that meant, not knowing whether that meant a different corporation and being a leader, a Christian leader in the corporate world, or whether it meant going to Bogota, Colombia. I had no idea. But eventually, God led me to an invitation to meet Johnny Erickson Tata, who is the founder of Johnny and Friends. And you've met her, yes, Danny. I know you can testify alongside of me, one of the most extraordinary human beings anyone can ever meet on this side of heaven. And I went to see what Johnny's ministry was all about. They were looking for a leader, and I thought I would go check it out. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If you're not interested in getting involved in disability ministry, don't meet Johnny Erickson Tata. I met Johnny, and I came home, and I never wanted to give myself to anything more than to the Lord's work here at Johnny and Friends. Wow. And praise God, the board and Johnny selected me, and I've been here for 13 years now. It has been the most rewarding and fruitful and peace-filled time of my life. I have finally figured out what Paul was talking about contentment, about seeking contentment. As a man of the world, I sought joy, and joy is a good thing. God invented joy. He loves joy, and he has songs of joy, and joy, but joy is fleeting. But as Christians, I think that our goal is not necessarily joy, although let's enjoy it when it comes, but it's contentment. It's waking up in the morning and knowing that where you as an individual are exactly where God wants you to be, to me, that's as much peace as we're going to find this side of heaven. Mm-hmm. And working here at Johnny and Friends, I can best describe it as when I wake up in the morning and come here, I know I'm exactly where God wants me to be just for today. And we take that one day at a time. And I would ask your listeners to seek that kind of, that's where that contentment will come from.
You know, Doug, when you mention it, as you so articulately have described, it stirs me up to want that same contentment, and I believe that our dear listeners are swelling up with a yearning, an eagerness to experience that, because you know we live, and you know it doesn't take long. It takes some of us longer than others to realize that you know that the things that we so often and for so much of our time put value on that, you know, when you have it or you achieve it or you've got it as your very own, it doesn't seem to last. And it makes us wonder, is there more? And as you're listening today, you may be in a tussle because you are hearing Doug say that there's more. He's had what many strive for. He's achieved it, accomplished it. But then there was an emptiness. And God used his dear son, Ryan, in profound ways, maybe even in prophetic ways, to bring him to a place of a deeper understanding and a deeper experience of what life is really about. His son has been used by the Lord to lead him to Christ, as he's used Lorraine, Doug's wife. But today the Lord is using this testimony, the testimony of Doug Mazza, his son Ryan, his family, the ministry of Johnny and Friends, to lead you to the Lord as well. Because it's in Christ, Jesus Christ, that you and I will find that deep fulfillment, that deep longing, a contentment and a reason for contentment. You can experience that. When we come back from our break, we're going to talk with Doug further about the great ministry of Johnny and Friends, the vitality that the Lord has given to that ministry for the 21st century. What makes it so vital? And even how you can connect with Johnny and Friends. Well, let me just throw this out. JohnnyandFriends.org, that's their website. JohnnyandFriends.org. She is a absolutely phenomenal person. I've been privileged to meet her. Doug works with her on a regular basis, daily basis. Well, Doug Mazza is here with us. And when we come back from our break, he'll share more from his heart to yours. Stay with us.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
Hi, this is Danny Yamashiro. Many people tell me how much the Good Life Hawaii radio show has made a difference in their lives. This is made possible through our corporate sponsors. A big mahalo to Waiawa dentist Dr. Kerry Ishihara, orthopedic surgeon Dr. Calvin Oishi, A1A electrician Tony Lathrop Lee of State Farm Mililani, Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry, Burt's Union Service, Michael Beasley of Kayani, Fran Villarmia Kahavai of Properties International Limited, Chinen and Arinaga Financial Group Incorporated, Armor of Truth, Commercial Roofing and Waterproofing Incorporated, LNS Enterprises Marine Consultants, and Quilopo Painting Incorporated. To learn more about our corporate sponsors or to find out how to become one, visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show, Hawaii's only local inspirational Christian talk show on 99.5 FM KGU, weekdays at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight, connecting your family and friends to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ.
A healthy smile can make all the difference, but where do you go for healthy teeth? Dr. Kari Ishihara is a specialist in general dentistry in Waihua. With more than 20 years of experience, Dr. Ishihara serves the people of Waihua, including a special focus on military families. As a lieutenant colonel in the U.S. Army Reserves, he understands the needs of soldiers and families in our military community. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is proud to have Dr. Kari Ishihara as an anchor sponsor. Call him at 621-8281. That's 621-8281.
Do you need a specialist in cosmetic dentistry? Someone who can bring the best in you from the inside out. Let Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa help you. His warmth, compassion, and expertise provides all the assurance needed for your dental needs. Visit Dr. Jeffrey K. Miyazawa of Windward Family Dentistry in Kaneohe. Call him at 235-4525 to make an appointment today. That's 235-4525. Or visit jeffmiyazawa.com. Windward Family Dentistry, where a lifetime of smiles is created. Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
So you come to a place in life when you firmly believe, you begin to realize, all my past experiences, all the things that I've been able to accomplish, be a part of, learn, grow, it all comes to bear at this very time. And this is my divine moment, a moment of destiny for me to go all out for the Lord and to be able to see that take flight. And God used that to affect the lives of literally millions and millions of people all over the world. Well, that's kind of the story of Doug Mazza. He's the president and chief operating officer of Johnny and Friends International Disability Center. He's our guest today. This is Danny Yamashiro, and you're listening to the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show. To find out more about this program and to download this podcast for free, go to thegoodlifehawaii.org. And to find out more about Johnny and Friends, go to johnnyandfriends.org. That's johnnyandfriends.org. Doug, when we talk about Johnny and Friends, the ministry, why is it so vital in the 21st century?
What a great question. You asked the greatest questions, Danny. I've never been asked that question before. I'm going to precede it by, if there are listeners looking for Johnny and Friends, Johnny is spelled J-O-N-I. A lot of people are looking up a different name for Johnny, but it's J-O-N-I and Friends. Evidently, her dad, she tells me, wanted a boy by the fourth girl and named her Johnny instead of Joni.
Yeah.
So your question was, why is disability ministry so vital in the 21st century?
Yes.
Well, I can tell you that as a strategic planner, and I was not brought here as a theologian by any stretch of the imagination. We've got wonderful theologians here, PhDs and brilliant minds here at Johnny and Friends. And I came out of the business world very humbled by who I was surrounded with. And so I took a very simple approach to strategic planning, and that was, well, what did Jesus say? And I think that's a great way to start any strategic plan if you're in ministry, and frankly, if you're in business. And when I looked to see what Jesus specifically said about people with disabilities, I found Luke 14:21 and 23. And it says this, it is Jesus speaking. Remember, this is God, the God-man walking the earth, and he came to earth and he spoke these words in Luke 14, 21 and 23. He said, he said, go quickly. He said, go many times. But in this case, interestingly enough, he said, go quickly to the streets and alleys of the town and bring in the poor and the lame and the blind. And then he repeated himself in verse 23, and he said, go out to the roads and the country lanes and make them come in the NIV, make them come in so that my house will be full. It was that important 2,000 years ago, and I don't think anything that Jesus Christ said 2,000 years ago has become unimportant 2,000 years later. I think the success of Johnny and Friends, which has multiplied many-fold over the last decade, is due to the fact that, not because we're smarter or better, or I think the one thing we have done is that we have picked up Luke 14, and that Jesus Christ was waiting 2,000 years for somebody to pick that up and dedicate their lives to nothing else but that. And I think that had been done by a lot of good and wonderful people on a local level. And then Johnny Erickson Tata came along and started a movement. And isn't that just the way God would start a movement, with a 17-year-old girl, not with the head of a corporation or a president of a country? I think God would choose somebody like, a carpenter or a 17-year-old girl with a broken neck to start a movement. And I challenged our board 13 years ago, is this a ministry about the life of Johnny Erickson Tata, or is this a ministry that maybe God is starting a movement using her life? And when those two strategic plans are very different. One is certainly you can have a ministry around the fruit of a life like Johnny Erickson Tata's, but to have a Luke 14 movement begun by the broken neck of a 17-year-old girl who starts a ministry, that's a strategic plan that has eternal compassion and meaning. And the board got very excited about that. And so we wake up every day to serve simply Luke 14, 21, and 23. We are foot washers to the church. Mm-hmm. That will never grow out of style. That is God's bride, the church. And we are not there to lead the church or to teach the church, but to be available to the church to show them the really painless ways of going out to the streets and alleys of the town and bringing in the poor and the lame and the blind, and that they will be blessed. Even in disability ministry, at one time I thought that the goal was simply to bring them in and then we were all done. But as a marketing person, as I watched, I wanted to be sure I was accurate. We are now working with more than 4,000 churches that have vibrant disability ministries. And I noticed that those were vibrant churches. So my marketing brain went to, do vibrant churches take on disability ministry, or do churches become more vibrant when they serve the Luke 14 mandate? Because that is a mandate. That's not just a comment by the Lord Jesus Christ. That was a mandate. Go quickly, do this so that my house will be full. That's what Jesus Christ said. And when we do that, when we bring them in, it wasn't just to populate the church. It was because now God can begin to work within the church and bless the congregation and bless the community with the presence of those people that he loved so much, that he spent so much time with, that he sat inside a house surrounded by people healing the sick, that men chopped a hole in the roof and lowered the man on the mat in front of him. And he looked up at them and said, because of their faith, your sins are forgiven, and he healed that man. Mm-hmm. That's what he thought about the disabled, and he touched the untouchables. And so relevant? Oh, yes. There's nothing in the Bible, I know you agree, Danny, that isn't relevant today. Mm-hmm. And to put it in the context of helping the church to begin an outreach to people with disabilities. And, disability sounds... oh, my goodness, it sounds scary, which it is. It sounds complicated, it sounds messy, and it sounds expensive. And those are all lies. It's none of those things. When a pastor asks me, how do I get started with a disability ministry in my church, I I say, why don't you just get a welcome name badge and put it on a volunteer and have them go stand in the blue space, the handicapped space out in your parking lot. Mm-hmm. And when somebody pulls in that space, have them open that door and say, welcome, and usher them in and introduce them to someone in the church. You are now in the top 10% of all churches in America serving people with disabilities simply by welcoming them in, because that's all God asked you to do, was just welcome them in. And then you know what will happen? You will serve that one person's needs, and they will let their needs be known, and then another disabled person will come, and you'll learn how to serve their needs. And so it's really the one at a time. It's really the one at a time, and it is a very simple and honoring and blessing. A blessing to the church, honoring to God. And my goodness, people with disabilities, they are really the least, the last, and the lost so often. Hmm. And our churches are filled with people who love people with disability. But many churches, we don't find those with disabilities there. And they are indeed a blessing. I know that my son's life has, even though he doesn't speak, that he has blessed many, many people. You've been to the Johnny and Friends International Disability Center,
yes.
And the ramp that we have, a glass ramp that wraps around, a glass-lined ramp that wraps around our chapel from the first floor to the second floor, so people with disabilities can get up and down from one floor to the other on the longest commercial ramp in probably any commercial building mm-hmm. in the country. And it's named for my son, Ryan. And Johnny has dedicated books to Ryan, and he's never spoken or written. And I always smile when she names something after him, because Johnny and I have this not so private secret that she will tell me, you know, Doug, I never would have met you. You'd never be here without Ryan. Mm-hmm. Ryan, this is all treasure in heaven for Ryan. Without Ryan's disability, without his suffering, I never would have met you, and you never would have found the reason you were born for. And without being associated with the pain and the suffering that we went through with Ryan, I may have missed the next billion years of a relationship with Jesus Christ,
wow.
renewable for another billion.
And look at how many, I mean, we can't even count, Doug. We can't even count how many lives are being touched, even today. I mean, we know a dear friend of both of ours is already gone to another country with his family to be part of a Johnny and Friends ministry, you know, in another country to minister to people who, again, are with disability as well as their families. And you have ministries with Johnny and Friends all over the world and throughout the United States, but it's an international ministry. There's an international impact. When we come back, Doug, can you share some of what Johnny and Friends is doing, the ministries that you have, and even how someone could get involved if they're so moved? You know, we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll talk with Doug about that. There may be a stirring up in your heart right now, and it's a real grassroots level. I mean, we're talking grassroots, like your church parking lot, you know, that blue space in your church, like a name badge that needs to be put on maybe yourself, maybe on someone that, you know, maybe somebody has been talking about a disabilities ministry in your church and you kind of brushed it under the rug, so to speak. Maybe the Lord is speaking to your heart right now. We'll be back with more from Doug Mazza.
Wandering the road of desperate life, aimlessly beneath a barren sky. Leave it to me, I'll lead you home.
One thought, one insight, one lesson can give you a winner's edge. Danny Yamashiro's new book, Winner's Edge, includes over 300 inspirational quotes and insights from his personal collection on leadership, relationships, hope, family, teamwork, love, and much more. Winner's Edge by Danny Yamashiro, available at bookstores throughout Hawaii. And don't forget Paradise Calls, Danny Yamashiro's remarkable story of God's miracle, saving him from falling 400 feet off the Pali Ridge, a story that's brought hope to thousands around the world. Winner's Edge and Paradise Calls by Danny Yamashiro, available in ebook at Amazon Kindle. and listen to Danny Yamashiro and his featured guests on the Good Life Hawaii Radio Show weekdays on 99.5 KGU FM at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight. Connect with Danny on Facebook and Twitter and find out more at DannyYamashiro.org.
Listening to The Good Life with Danny Yamashiro. The Good Life Hawaii Radio Show is a program of Danny Yamashiro Ministries, a division of Jesus Christ is Calling You. Contact Danny on Facebook and Twitter or visit him at www.thegoodlifehawaii.org. Now, let's rejoin Danny and his special guests.
Welcome back to our show. I'm here with my featured guest today, Doug Mazza. He's the president and chief operating officer of Johnny and Friends International Disability Center. To find out more about Johnny and Friends, you can go to www.johnnyandfriends.org. Again, that's J-O-N-I, Johnny and Friends, J-O-N-I, johnnyandfriends.org. Doug, what are some of the ministries that you have? And if someone wants to be involved or get involved, how could they do that?
Magnificent. We are largely a volunteer led organization. We have thousands and thousands of dedicated volunteers around the world, some of them in significant leadership positions. Our headquarters is here, and we do have 83 locations throughout the United States. Some of them are staff-led, and some of them are volunteer-led. We will also touch more than 50 countries this year, either with our own teams going. We have Wheels for the World is one of our outreaches, in which this year we will collect between 8,000 and 10,000 wheelchairs that are used in wheelchair drives, and we will ship them off to prisons where we have prison ministry, and volunteer inmates restore these wheelchairs to like-new condition in our restoration centers, where we hopefully are restoring some lives there while they are restoring our wheelchairs. They rebuild them. They take them completely apart, right down to replacing the spokes and wheels and new chrome parts, and it is a wheelchair that I would put my own son in when it is finished. We then ship them overseas in containers, and Wheels for the World teams that maybe somebody would, if they have a continent, we're on almost every continent of the world, can go on a Wheels for the World team and deliver these wheelchairs personally to someone with a disability and their family, where we have distribution centers. And we go out to the streets and alleys of the town, and we bring in the crippled and the blind and the lame, and we fit them with whatever equipment they may need, just as Jesus Christ would. And of course, when they come, all they need to get a wheelchair is need. There is no other qualification. The first wheelchair I ever fitted was in Africa to a young Muslim girl whose parents would not bring her because we were Christian, and she crawled several miles to the distribution center to get a wheelchair.
Crawled several miles?
She crawled several miles with she had flip-flops, I remember, on her hands, these sandals. And she crawled because she heard there were wheelchairs there, and she spent the day with us. She came with great intrepidation, not knowing what was going to happen to her, being she was a young Muslim girl, and she was fitted for a wheelchair and spent the day hearing about Jesus Christ. And I always wished I was a fly on the back of that wheelchair when she went back to her Muslim village, and people asked her, "Where did that chrome chair come from? Who gave that to you? And why did they give it to you?" And the wonderful thing about a wheelchair is, if you're timid about, and I'm certainly not talking to you, Danny, because you are not, but if you're timid about evangelizing, you go on a Wheels for the World trip, and families all over the world, disability is the great equalizer. Parents with a disabled child are the same in the United States as they are in the darkest parts of Africa or South America or Central America. It makes no difference. Those mothers have the same broken heart. The fathers have the same frustrations, just wanting to take care of their children. And when you minister to them and you lift them with loving hands and you play with them and you put them in a wheelchair, all of our trips go with physical and occupational therapists. We give a professional fit to the wheelchair. The wheelchair is actually rebuilt around them. We will have seating specialists that go on these trips. And when we're finished, there are tears so often in the parents' eyes. No one has ever loved on their children this way. No one has ever cared about them. And sometimes it's not a child. Sometimes it's mom or dad or another family member that is disabled. But my point about evangelism is everyone asks, why would you do that? Who sent you? Why did you come? And even in places where it may be illegal to evangelize, you're allowed to answer questions. And that's all we want is that question. And then we tell them about the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we have evangelists there and pastors, and everyone gets a gospel bracelet, and they get a Bible in their own language. I don't know how many languages. I mean, there's got to be 30 or more languages that we hand out, maybe more than that even. I know we hand out Bibles in Twi and in African dialects, so everyone leaves with a Bible, everyone leaves with a gospel bracelet, and everyone leaves hearing who Jesus Christ is, and that we are not here for any other reason than Jesus Christ told us to go quickly to the streets and alleys of the town, and this is where we found you,
Doug,
and God loves you.
We've got a quick minute left.
Yes.
A parting shot. A parting shot to someone right now who's listening, who's going through a real difficult moment.
God loves you. He loves you so much, and he understands your suffering so much that he modeled it, that he hung on a cross. None of us, if we had the chance to be God, would walk up Calvary, except a God that loves you so much that he was willing to do that. Put your faith in him, friend. He loves you, and he cares about you, and he will never leave you, even in your darkest hour.
Doug, I want to say it's been a real privilege and blessing from the Lord to have you here with us. As we say in Hawaii, mahalo, thank you for taking time out of your very, very busy schedule to be here to share your heart and the ministry of Johnny and Friends.
God bless you and your listeners. Mahalo to all of you.
In the next few days, you're going to hear more inspirational stories of hope and faith. And you know what? There's no better time than right now to share the love of Jesus Christ with someone near you. Invite someone to listen. We're here at 2 p.m. and 12 midnight weekdays. Our stories are now downloadable at thegoodlifehawaii.org. Share them with a friend. Speaking of the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12:26 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. It's always a blessing to be with you. Special thank you to our guest today, Doug Mazza of Johnny and Friends. Find out more at johnnyandfriends.org. Until next time, along with our technical producer, Chaz Ontai, I'm Danny Yamashiro. Remember, the Lord is with you. Let him unleash your God-given purpose today.
Thank you for listening in on today's broadcast of The Good Life with host Danny Yamashiro. We hope that today's program has been a blessing for you. The Good Life radio program is listener-supported, and we'd like to encourage you to pray about becoming a sponsor or donor. Your support makes it possible for us to continue to minister to God's people through The Good Life. To become a sponsor or to make a donation, please visit thegoodlifehawaii.org. That's thegoodlifehawaii.org. And may God richly bless you with The Good Life.